Corinthians chapter number 9, and we'll read from verse 24 down through the end of the chapter, verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. We announce the text of our message, or the title of our message this morning, How to Be a Winner. Amen. So let's stand to our feet, and we'll read responsively 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 24 through 27. I'll read the even-numbered verses. Would you read the odd-numbered verses with me through the end of the chapter? 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Our Father and our God, we thank you again for the privilege to gather tonight. Please bless those that wanted to be here, Lord, and just couldn't. Bless those that, Lord, exercised some good sense and didn't come out tonight. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bless them tonight as they're no doubt missing the fellowship of the saints. Lord, we pray that you would bless those that are here tonight. We thank you for these 20 or so that came out tonight, and pray that you would bless this message to our hearts, Lord. Help us to understand that, Lord, we can be winners through Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray that you would, Lord, help us, give us boldness, and change us through your word. Thank you for all that you give to us now. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I enjoy sports. I really do. I like team sports. I think there's a lot of lessons you can learn from team sports, particularly. I started out playing baseball. Again, my dad taught me baseball, and I'm one of those oddities in baseball. I hit right-handed, but I throw left-handed, and it's very, very... The only other player I remember as a young man that was that way was a fellow named Ricky Henderson, amen? He threw left-handed and hit right-handed, and I remember my father telling me the story of how that happened, Pastor John. He said, I bought you a right-handed glove as a young boy, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and you were throwing it back to me with your right hand. He said, and one day you dropped that glove, picked it up with your left hand, and threw it and almost knocked me over. And he said, and I went to the sporting goods store that day and bought you a left-handed glove. Amen. And so my whole life I have been involved in sports. I've been involved in team sports. One of the things I love about baseball, the team sports, just the idea of the sacrifice. Unique to baseball, the sacrifice. What is it? One player will take their at-bat and sacrifice it to the team by moving runners over and everybody doing their own. I think of football. I like the linemen in football. No glory whatsoever, but no touchdowns without offensive linemen. Amen? And so I've been around sports, and I've seen people that have lost. I've been part of a lot of losses. Amen? But I've also seen some winners and been part of people that were winners. There are two coaches that I love to study after, not only just their coaching philosophy, but their philosophy of life. One was a coach named John Wooden, died this year, 98 years old, Christian gentleman, had more principles that he applied to his teams that were based on the Bible than probably any coach that's ever lived. And was one of the most successful coaches ever, winning 10 national championships at the University of California, Los Angeles. The other coach that I love to read after is a fellow named Vince Lombardi. Now, I wish I could tell you Vince Lombardi was a Christian. He was not. He was a very devoted 7-day-a-week Catholic. But he had a lot of biblical principles in what he had to say. And he loved this verse. He's famous for saying, winning isn't the only thing, or winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. And then he also, after that, amended that statement. He said, no, let me amend that. It's not the only thing, it's second to breathing. I think that's a great statement as far as a coach. Listen, if I was going to play for a coach, I'd want to play for a coach that didn't tolerate losing, that didn't accept this attitude of defeatism. Vince Lombardi was a great coach in the 60s, and he had a real problem with the hippies. He did. He said, in our country, we coddle the malcontents and the miscreants, and we stop rewarding merit and character. And he said that 40 years ago, Brother Meyer, and he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. He used to say of verse number 24, that at the end of the verse where it says, "But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." He used to say this, run to win. Run to win. And of course, he said that about his particular style of football. He believed in the running game and that running would win. But I want to give you some things tonight. If I were your spiritual coach, by the way, I'd make a terrible, terrible coach. I would be the coach that everybody hated. I really would. The young people would not like me for a coach because it would be whistle and running and whistle and running and whistle and running. You say, why is that? Well, let me get to the first point. Number one, how to be a winner. If you're going to be a winner, both either on the athletic field or in the spiritual life, number one, you've got to condition the carnal. You've got to condition the carnal. Look at verse number 27. Paul here says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You have to condition the carnal if you're going to be a winner. You look at athletes that rise above, and I'm not just talking about a mediocre or an average. The athletes that rise above, they literally beat their body into subjection. They do the extra running, Pastor John. They do running when nobody's looking. They hit the weight room. They do all that. And I want to say to our church tonight, this 20 or so, if you're going to be a winner in the spiritual life, you're going to have to tell your flesh what to do. Amen? You're not going to let your flesh dictate what you do, but the Spirit must have mastery over the flesh. You have to condition the carnal. You have to. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're not born losers, we're born choosers. Amen? And what that means is you have the opportunity to choose whether you are a winner or a loser. Now, can I say this, that you are a winner by virtue of the fact that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, no doubt about that. One day we will receive the ultimate victory, but God intends for us to live in victory while we walk this earth. How to be a winner? You're going to have to condition the carnal. You know, the flesh wants to do everything the opposite of that book. Amen? It does. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do, and it don't care. It doesn't care what your spirit wants to do. It doesn't care what this book says. It wants what it wants. You're going to have to condition the carnal if you're going to be a winner. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 5 says this. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Listen, if you're going to be a winner, you're going to have to do what God says. You're going to have to do it God's way. Amen? Condition the carnal. How to be a winner. If I was your coach, I would tell you, hey, you're going to need to condition that carnal. You're going to need to, athletically, you're going to need to keep running even when your flesh doesn't want to. You got to keep going. You know why? Because that person, Lem, that you're going to play against, he runs longer than you do. He puts in more effort. And maybe if two people are just as good at each other in an athletic contest, I tell you what'll be the difference. It'll be the conditioning. It'll be the conditioning. So you've got to condition the carnal. Go with me to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16, number 2. Not only condition the carnal, but if I was your coach, I would tell you how to be a winner. Yes, you have to condition the carnal, but not only condition the carnal. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 10. Look at this verse. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. I tell you this, if I was your coach tonight, your spiritual coach, I'd say how to be a winner. Condition the carnal, yes, but number two, effort is everything with me as your coach. Listen, you know what I think of talent in anything, especially the spiritual realm? Who cares? Who cares? Listen, God is not interested in calling just talented people. No, He's not. You know, I was just sharing with Uncle Joe as we were talking back and forth online. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God has chosen the foolish things. God has chosen the base things. God has chosen the weak things to confound them that are wise. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. I tell you, that's why I love the offensive linemen in football. Man, I just, those guys, they're up there and just grinding it out for 3 hours and just moving people around so other people can do their jobs. And I think about stuff like that. I remember we had a young man when I was at college, and I used to play a little bit of basketball then. I don't play too much anymore. But this young man was the most wiry guy, Pastor John. He was in the Marine Corps. And he came up to me one time. He's like, Brother Rich, he was just a little off, amen. He said, Brother Rich. I said, yes, sir. He said, can I spit shine your shoes? I said, now? I said, I'm wearing. No, later. I spit shine them. I get those so shiny and that you could see your own reflection in them. I said, okay, well, I'll keep it in mind. Thank you, brother. And I gave them to him, and sure enough, best shine I ever had in my entire life. But he used to play basketball with us, and Pastor John, this guy couldn't shoot for nothing. He couldn't, he honestly couldn't dribble the ball. You know what he did? He got rebounds. He'd go up and get a rebound and lay it in. He'd end up with 20 points by the end of the night because he just gave you his best bottom dollar effort. You know, if you go into the military, you know what they want out of you? 100% effort. That's what they want. You get out on the battlefield and you know what your comrades expect of you? They expect 100% effort. Hey, listen, we all make mistakes, amen. But if I was your coach, I'd tell you this. Hey, effort is everything. Not only to condition the carnal, and our verse here tells us that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. If God can't trust you with a little to give all your effort, how can He trust you with a lot? Effort is everything. Condition the carnal. Number three, go to John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. And look, if you would, at beginning in verse 18. John chapter 21, beginning in verse number 18. As soon as you find your place there, I'll begin reading here. It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, seeing John now, saith to Jesus, and pointing at John, saying, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You see here, Jesus is giving an explanation of what's going to happen to Peter as he dies. And Peter says, well, Lord, what about John? And I tell you, a third thing, if I was your spiritual coach tonight, I'd tell you, you need to condition the carnal to be a winner. I'd tell you that effort is everything. Number three, I'd tell you to play your position. Play your position. Listen, I looked at Mrs. Sammons and I were talking a little while, and I said, you know, Eric and Josiah, if they ever play football, they won't ever have to worry about scoring touchdowns. They'll have to worry about moving large people around because they're big boys, amen. Listen, they're not going to have 4.4 speed, Brother Keith, amen. They're just not going to do it. So they're going to have to learn to play their position. I know we've only got 20 here tonight. You know a reason why Christianity's in a mess that it is Christian homes are not playing their positions. We've got wives running homes because husbands won't. And we've got husbands that are not fulfilling their responsibilities. Listen, we've got to play our position. Do you know there's only one youth pastor of Loomis Park Baptist Church, and it's that man right there. That's his position. There's only one pastor. That's my position. Maybe you're an usher, or a deacon, or a bus worker, or a Sunday school teacher. Play your position. I can just imagine, honestly, I was one of the worst soccer players that you could ever possibly see, Pastor. I couldn't dribble. I couldn't do anything. But I want to tell you this, I was an outstanding goalkeeper. I really was. What good would it have done? It said, you know what, said to my coach, you know, I don't really like playing goal anymore. I think I'll play the middle of the field. We would lose and lose and lose. First of all, they'd have to put somebody that wasn't as good in goal, and I'd get out there, wouldn't be able to do anything. Because there's a lot of people trying to play somebody else's position. Play your own position. Play the position. Play your role. Amen. Each one of us has a role in the body of Christ. Find out what it is and do it. Amen. Play your position. Effort is everything. Condition the carnal. Number four, consider your comrades. Consider your comrades. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I have been on teams with, I can think of a young man right now. He was a great player, but he wasn't a team player. And all he did was make everybody around him miserable. That's what he did. He was never considerate of his comrades. Listen, we ought to be considerate of our comrades here. Amen? Spiritually, be considerate about what you say. Be considerate about how you live. Amen? Be considerate about what you do. Brother Horsch mentioned this morning in his Sunday school lesson, it was so good. I got there just in time. He was talking about Christian liberty out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you look just probably a page over for you, he says there in verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And then if you look at the end of verse 25, you see conscience' sake. Verse 27, conscience' sake. Verse 28, conscience' sake. Verse 29, twice you see the word conscience. And he says this, he sums it all up of how to be considerate of your comrades in verse 31. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when you do stuff to God's glory, you're being considerate. I don't think we have any drunkards in here. I don't think we have any people that have a problem with liquor. But I tell you this, if you have a problem with liquor and you go ahead and drink that back and someone was to see you doing that, you're not being considerate of your comrades. I'll never forget this. And the Bible does still say, be sure your sin will find you out. I'll never forget as we were driving our bus home in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and I had a young man with me. And I didn't say anything, Pastor John. I had met with another a middle-aged man, and he told me, he said, I've got a problem with liquor, Pastor. So I'll pray for you about that. And I gave him some practical advice. I said, listen, you need to stay away from the bars, and you need to stay away from the liquor stores, and just some simple walls to put up in our life, some hedges of protection. And he said, okay, okay, okay. Here we were driving along with the bus and we had just dropped off the last stop and I came to a light. I can still see right where it is in Holyoke. And I looked over and there was a package store, a liquor store right there, and I watched that man go in there. And thankfully, the young man that was with me didn't see it. But I thought, you know, he could have been going in to buy a bag of Doritos for all I know. But it wasn't very considerate of his comrades. Can you just imagine somebody out in the baseball field playing center field and all of a sudden he just sits down and says, you know what, I don't want to play anymore. As the ball's hit right in front of him, he says, I don't want to go and get that. He's not being very considerate, is he? Listen, if you're going to be a winner, you're going to have to be considerate of your comrades. You're going to have to play your position. Effort is everything. Condition the carnal. Number five, if you're going to be a winner, you're going to have to minimize your mistakes. You know, Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Amen. My daddy taught me a long time ago, it's a whole lot better, Brother Herb, to learn from other people's mistakes than to have to make them yourself. And to that I say, amen. One of the reasons I enjoy sharing my testimony with our young people, Brother Boston, is to say, you don't have to make those mistakes. You don't have to do that. You grow up in a good church. You've got a good home. Like Brother Stephen said about his home, praise God, you never touch liquor, young brother. Amen. Hope it will always be so. Learn from other people's mistakes. Yeah, you're going to have to minimize your mistakes. First way you do that is learn from others' mistakes. Secondly, learn from your own mistakes. Amen. One of the most humbling things is when you sin and you fail God. And when I do that, I go to Psalm chapter 51. And I can't tell you the amount of times, Brother Lamas, I've read Psalm 51 and I've teared up and I thought, I messed up again, I messed up again, I messed up again. And you know what God wants us to do? Just like on the ball field. Listen, if I take somebody and I teach them how to field a ground ball, you know what? After I've taught them several hundred times, I don't expect them to make that mistake again. Amen? It's not a sin to make a mistake. Where it gets to be a problem is if you keep making it over and over and over and over. Listen, God wants us to learn from others' mistakes. He wants us to learn from our own mistakes. But mainly, if you're going to minimize the mistakes, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to learn from the Word of God. Look at the characters that have, if I could say it so gently, that have train wrecked their lives. Look at Lot. Look at David, what he did. Look at the character of Esau. And look and learn. And say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. By God's grace, God helping me, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to mess up my family. I want to be a winner. I don't want to be a loser. I think of Lot, I think of the loser of the Bible. Literally, Lot the loser. You're going to have to condition the carnal. You're going to have to effort is everything. Play your position. Consider your comrades. Minimize your mistakes. Something else very, very important. Encouragement is essential. If you're going to be on my team, and I'm your coach, encouragement is essential. I hate, this is a funny statement, I hate negativity. Is that, did anybody get the irony of that statement? I hate negativity. If you've ever played anything with me, we get out on the ball field, and Pastor John knows we're out there in the outfield. I'm always chattering. And if, listen, maybe Brother Tom Hauser's having a tough time finding the play. So that's all right, Brother Tom. You're doing a good job. You're pitching well. I want to encourage him. Somebody makes a loud out, a line drive right to somebody. Man, you really smoked that ball. That's a way to hit the ball. That's a way to hit the ball. Why? I want to encourage them. You know, the Bible talks about Barnabas, that he encouraged them in the faith. You know what I want to be as your spiritual coach? I want to be an encouragement, but I want you to be encouragement to others around you. Encourage. We want, listen, we've got to have that. If you're going to be on my team, amen, if you're going to be a winner, encouragement is essential. Did you know that literally more Christians are derailed by discouragement than perhaps any other sin or weight? You get discouraged and you think nobody cares and nobody bothers. Boy, that's how I like to go up to somebody and say, it's good to see you today. Thanks for being faithful. Thanks for being faithful. Praise the Lord. I saw you and you passed out a track or you were working in this ministry or you were here helping. Thanks for being faithful. I want to encourage you. I'm your pastor. But you know what? Even if I wasn't your pastor, I'd want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I'd like to be part of a team that's encouraging. Last year when we played our softball tournament, and it was fun, but it was very tiring, I could tell you that. We played 8 games in 2 days, and Brother Dave Jenkins and I played 2 more in prison. And I tell you, I looked like Frankenstein when I walked. Amen. Everything was stiff. And I remember the umpire who had umped all of our games. His father had gone into ER, and we had special prayer for him before the game. And I remember he said at the end, he said this. He said, all I know is if there was a sportsmanship award, Loomis Park would get it. And I tell you something, Brother Boston, I would have liked to have won the whole tournament. I can't lie to you, but I was so happy to hear that about our team because we encouraged one another. We lifted up the other team, and we wanted to be a blessing. And that's what it's about, amen. Let me give you one last thing, how to be a winner, and we'll be done. If you're going to be a winner on a team, on our spiritual team, you're going to have to condition the carnal, efforts everything, play your position, consider your comrades, minimize your mistakes. Encouragement is essential. Lastly, you're going to have to listen to the leader. Amen? You're going to have to listen to the leader. On our teams, we have a coach. And you know what? The coach is in charge. Amen? At your work, you've got a structure. And listen, you report to somebody. And Ephesians chapter 6 wants you to do that as if they were the Lord, the Bible says. And they're not, and they may be terrible, but you know, you have to obey them in the Lord. But I want to tell you, a lot of times, teams lose because they don't listen to the leader. They do their own thing. They think they can depend on, and listen, I've said this before, I know there's only 20 of us tonight, we're recording, but listen, I'm nothing. I know I'm nothing. I'm a sinner saved by grace whom God called to shepherd this flock. I know I'm nothing without Him. But listen, there'll be times when you'll want to do your own thing and you'll come to me in counsel, and Pastor John, you've had it. I've had it where I said, I don't think that's a good idea. I'd back off of that if I were you. And you see people go on and they lose. They lose. And listen, I don't want that for your life. I don't want that for anybody's life. I'd rather have you be a winner. I'd rather have you win. So if you're going to be a winner, you're going to have to listen to the leader. I'll close with this. And I know this has been a very sports-centered message. I try not to do a lot of those. I think some preachers do too much of it. But I remember when hearing the story of John Wooden told the story about Bill Walton. Bill Walton was a great center. Probably some people will argue the greatest in the history of college basketball. He led UCLA to an 88-game winning streak and three titles and just a tremendous player, but he was a hippie at heart, and he had long hair. And John Wooden said, "Well, Bill, you'll need to get a haircut." And Bill Walton, you know, here he was, this hippie. Said, "I don't know why he thinks he could tell me what we could do and all that. Mama, I don't have to get my haircut. I'm not getting my haircut." And John Wooden said this. He said, "Well, Bill, we'll miss you. We'll miss you." They see, you know why? John Wooden was the unquestioned leader. There's a reason why a coach wins 10 national championships, 8 of them in a row, all with different people. Because he's a good leader. Amen? Listen, I hope, it's my desire that you respect the office of pastor and youth pastor. I hope you would respect it, number one, not only for the office, but for the men who fill the office. I would hope that we could earn your respect as the leader. And I want to say this, even if you don't respect us as the leaders, I would still tell you scripturally to listen to your leader. Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief in that day, for that is unprofitable to you. Obey them that have the rule over you. Listen to your leader. If you're going to be a winner, 7 things. Listen to your leader. You've got to listen to the leader. Encouragement's essential. Let's encourage one another along the way. You know why a lot of people lose? No encouragement. No encouragement. I think about Brother Jim, those that come on the bus. You know what they need from our church? They need us to encourage them in the faith. Maybe they get some encouragement at home, but I'd go 80-20 being a former bus worker. They don't get very much. So you know what they need from us? Hey, I love being at the door, Miss Robin, when I see the bus kids come in. And I go, "Hey, it's so good to see you guys today. Did you ride the bus today? Is this your friend? You came?" I want to encourage them. Amen? I tell our choir today, I looked out and we were getting ready to sing, and everyone was kind of like this. And I went like this. Pastor John saw me do it. I was like, encouraging. You don't want to look up and see a choir that's like this. Amen? We encourage one another. How about minimizing our mistakes? We all make mistakes, but let's make less of them. Amen? How about considering our comrades and playing our position? And effort is everything in conditioning the carnal. How to be a winner tonight. Let's be winners. Amen? Let's be winners. I'd rather be a winner than a loser any day of the week. Amen. Our Father.